Our pericope of scripture this evening is the prophecy of Zechariah. The prophecy of Zechariah, the second to the last book of the Old Testament, chapter 4. And the angel that talked with me came again, and he waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. He wasn't sleeping there, but he was so filled with the last vision, the fourth vision. So now the angel calls to him, and he said unto me, "What seest thou?" And I said, "I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right hand of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof." So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel that talked with me answered, and he said unto me, "Knowest thou not what these be?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then he answered, and he spake unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it." Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." Then answered I, and said unto him, "What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick, and upon the left side thereof?" And I answered again and said unto him, "What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves?" And he answered me and he said, "Knowest thou not what these be?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said, "These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth." Our texts are verses 2, 3, and 6. And he said unto me, "What seest thou?" And I said, "I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, and a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof." Verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. May he bless the reading and the preaching of it. Beloved in our Lord Jesus, we're looking here at the fifth vision given to the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah was a young lad who, with his father, was one of the 49,000 that left Babylon and came back to Jerusalem. Zechariah was a contemporary of the prophets Haggai and Malachi. Prophesying in about the year 520 BC, waiting for the Messiah who was to come God's people will increasingly in the time ahead have to be able to go from the Old Testament types to the New Testament antitype. Redemption draws near. Haggai points to Jesus Christ as the great king and temple builder. Zechariah points to Christ as the priest who is busy ministering. Malachi points to Christ as the messenger of the covenant, the great prophet. So revealed in these three prophets is Jesus Christ, our prophet, our priest, and our king, working his church. And besides Jesus Christ, the church has need of nothing. Most important types of the Old Testament was the temple. And so all three of these prophecies, Zechariah, Haggai, and Malachi, are dealing then with the temple and the building of the temple and the worshiping of God in that temple. And God's people had to be encouraged in that work. How important the temple was, a symbol, wasn't it? A symbol of God dwelling in the midst of his people. The temple foundation was already laid shortly after the people came back from captivity. The foundation was laid, and we read then that the old saints wept when they remembered Solomon's glorious temple, yet the young people were rejoicing. Once again, the temple would be built. But there was no work on that temple now for 16 years. How come? First of all, because of opposition from their enemies, especially from the Samaritans. The Samaritans were even able to get the king of Persia to stop the work completely for a while because the Jews were termed as troublemakers, looking to rebel. But it's not only the opposition of the enemies, it was also the lethargy, and it was the worldliness of God's people themselves. Feeling defeated with a daunting task, and their interest in building their own luxurious homes. In this fifth vision, the essential point is that God is going to supply Zerubbabel. He's going to supply Zerubbabel with the power of the Holy Spirit to ensure the completion of the temple, regardless of the opposition of the enemies and regardless of the sin and the discouragement of God's people. The Lord is going to supply Zerubbabel with power. So looking at the points of this vision, do you see it there? The golden candlestick. And upon that top of that golden candlestick is a big bowl full of oil. And on top of that bowl are seven different lamps. And pipes leading from the bowl up to the lamps to supply the oil. And then the two trees next to it, the olive trees. That candlestick, beloved, in your vision is the church of Jesus Christ. And the task is that the church in its ministry must bear witness to the glory of God and give light. And that candlestick was always there in the temple. Now, you have to remember, when Zerubbabel says, "What is this?" And the angel says, "Don't you know?" Well, Zerubbabel was a little lad coming back from Babylon. He had never seen Solomon's temple. He had never seen that golden candlestick that had been in the temple. But in the temple, there weren't the two olive trees. This is a vision. Those two olive trees represent both Zerubbabel and Joshua, the high priest. Zerubbabel, who was of the line of David, But they didn't have kings because they were underneath the dominion of Persia. But you have the line of David, and you have the priesthood, pointing forward to the Messiah who pours out his Holy Spirit. There are the seven pipes that go to the seven lamps. And because the olive trees are there, living trees, there is always an inexhaustible oil for the lamps. There is an inexhaustible supply of the Holy Spirit given to the church. Yes, the lamps symbolize the church given the Holy Spirit. And verse 6 is the key, isn't it? The key to the interpretation of this vision. It is a theme of this vision. We read there, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So notice with me the golden candlestick, the glorious golden candlestick. First of all, our calling. Second of all, the power supplied. And thirdly, the needed encouragement. What is our calling when we read this passage from the Old Testament? A building of a temple then. What does it have to do with us? Yes, it's the golden candlestick that stood there in the temple, and it represented the people of God who are able to come into the presence of God. And they are then to give light, not their own light, but the light of him who has called them to him. The candlestick made of gold to picture the beauty and the purity of that candlestick. And above that candlestick then, that bowl full of oil, seven lamps. What does that mean? How beautifully the prophet Zechariah asks the question over and over, what does this mean? Giving way then for the angel. And there is no other passage probably in the Old Testament talks about the angels as much. The angels who are interested in the salvation of God's people, the church of Jesus Christ, gives explanation. The candlestick is God's church. Notice there's seven lamps. Seven lamps because number seven is the number of the covenant. The number three is of the triune God and the number four of people. And the two together then, God's covenant relationship with his people. And so in the New Testament, book of Revelation, especially Revelation chapter 11, very close to this, you have in the beginning of Revelation the seven churches of Asia Minor. There's more churches, but the seven are given there for the completely and the completion. It pictures the whole church of Jesus Christ at various times, various places, and different places in their life with Christ, with their problems and also their blessings. Those churches are supplied, aren't they? So that they can give light. They can give that light only by that supply of oil that comes to those lamps. And so there are those two olive trees representing, as we find out at the end of the passage, what is really and literally said, the men of oil. Zerubbabel, from the line of David, and Joshua the high priest, both of them signifying as Old Testament types the one who is going to come who carries both offices, Jesus Christ. Do you see the picture? Christ Jesus is a living tree who continues to pour out his Spirit, enabling the church to be a light in the midst of darkness. The temple must be built. And so this vision is given to Zechariah so that he may bring it to Zerubbabel and he may bring it to God's people so that they may have hope. What is the purpose of this vision? How beautifully the church is pictured here by this candlestick. For as a candlestick gives light in the midst of darkness, so the church is called to be a light in the midst of this world. The church, you and I, shine with the holiness of God. You and I are witnesses of God's saving power. Jesus says, Matthew 5, ye are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And he giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What a picture there. In a time when we're talking about obedience and good works, let your light shine, may others see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 15 and following, holding fast the word of life and so shining as lights in the world. The church is that light, not because of anything in herself, but because she is indwelt by the Spirit of Christ Jesus. That's the picture. The oil that is flowing from the olive trees into the bowl and then supplied to the seven lamps, the church, is the Holy Spirit. God's people have a place in the presence of God like the candlestick was there in the temple. But she also serves her God-given purpose. As we read this morning from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, showing forth the praises of him who has called her out of the darkness into his marvelous light. That picture of the church is not something different or separated from the various emphases earlier in the building of the temple, but it's important. God is assuring his people that the temple will be built. And in that temple, the candlestick is going to burn brightly. God dwelling in and with his people. The temple becomes the house of God. So what does that have to do with us? As Zerubbabel was called with God's people to build that Old Testament building, the temple, you and I, God's people, are called today to build God's house, aren't we? And how do we go about building God's house? Isn't it primarily by the preaching of the gospel? Isn't it also by the way that God's saints edify and build one another up, rather than fighting and bickering and putting down one another's? And isn't the house of God built up through evangelism and through missions, through churches doing Bible studies in their communities as you have done in the past? And isn't the house built up through elders and deacons dutifully carrying out their tasks in the Church of Jesus Christ? And isn't that house built today by godly parents desiring and being given by God children to raise and to train and to teach? And isn't the building of God's house today through our Christian schools? And may God open them up in the fall, and may we be diligent as parents to send our children there, even though there is this COVID-19 issue. And God builds up his church through catechism instruction. And God builds up his church, and we are busy in building that by praying for the church, by studying God's word, being built up ourselves so that then we can be a tool in God's hands for others also. Oh, may our light shine brightly. For our calling, this brings me to the end of the first point, our calling is to be that light of the world. The church is God's candlestick in the world. Each of us individually shining forth our light in our lives and in our witness, in our works that we perform, in our obedience, and in the testimony that we give to others. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are that candlestick. And that brings me to the second point then, the power supplied. Can I do that? Can I be that bright light in the midst of the darkness around? Can I be busy building up the church of Jesus Christ? Each of us individually as saints, as prophets, priests, and kings ourselves. How do we let our light shine? And the answer is, we can let our light shine only as we stand in union with Christ Jesus, who is the light of the world. That is the importance of those two trees. They're supplying the oil, Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest, representing Christ Jesus. It is in our union with Christ Jesus, those pipes from Christ Jesus down to the church, pouring out the Holy Spirit. We are that light not because we have that light in ourselves, but because we are indwelt with Christ's Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the fourth vision in Zechariah chapter 3, is pictured as the seven eyes that are upon a stone, and that's referred to again in this chapter, but now there's development in this chapter, isn't there? The Spirit becomes the main figure in this vision. The golden oil that pours forth from the trees into the bowl, and from the bowl then to the seven lamps. Verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It is the Holy Spirit that enables you and I, redeemed sinners, to be light, to witness, to be busy building the house of God. Zechariah's question comes, and the messenger angel has opportunity to give one of the most comforting messages that has ever been given to the church. All that is necessary will be done by the Spirit of God. Nothing depends upon man or man's efforts. Oh, we have to work. We have to be diligent. But nevertheless, what is accomplished is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So how are you and I going to be light in our individual lives and then collect together collectively? Well, let's look at that phrase in verse 6. Not by might. The idea there is really the collection of all of our resources. What resources do we have for building the church? Well, there are the sermons that are preached by your pastor every Sunday morning and every Sunday evening, isn't it? There are perhaps lectures that you can attend. There is literature that is printed by the RFPA. There is the standard bearer. Or young people, there are the beacon lights. Or there are the various books that are written. What resources for us to go to increase our knowledge? There's opportunities given to us to witness. Perhaps one of you soon will be on an airplane flying. And probably, if you're like me, you really say, I hope that person is quiet so I can just kind of doze or whatever. But maybe the Lord is going to open up an opportunity so that the one person wants to talk. And you're able to respond.
What an opportunity to witness there. Or others of you going off to work tomorrow. A person in the office, perhaps going through troubles in their marriage, or another one sick, or having someone sick. What an opportunity to open up about the hope that is within you. Those who are in the home, talking with your children about these things, or talking to your neighbor over the fence, or down the sidewalk. Opportunities to witness. What opportunities, what resources we have through the internet. That even tonight, while half of the congregation can't be here physically, yet they are able to hear the Word of God. The Facebook, the messages that you individually and as churches we can put out there. All these resources, wonderful resources. But God's Word says, not by might. It's not by your resources, primarily. Second of all, not by power. And there the idea is more of the church and us individually being determined. That is, being resolute, being persistent, sticking with it. Yes, I'm going to give a testimony. Yes, we're going to get out there into the community and have a Bible study. It's not all that determination by ourselves or persistence of ourselves. He says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. There's the key principle. That is going to cause success in the building of God's house. That word is addressed to Zerubbabel. He was tasked with, as the leader of God's people there in Jerusalem, with the building of the temple. Not human resources and not human determination, but by the Spirit. As I said, that does not mean that those who were tasked with building the temple don't have to do anything, even though they didn't for the last 16 years. God called them to that work of the building of the temple. And God blesses only in the way of their obedience. There's that word obedience again. God blesses in the way of our obedience. Neglecting the house of God, they would not prosper. God is saying that the Spirit would work through them in such a way that the temple was built, and the credit for building the temple would not be the people, wouldn't even be Zerubbabel, but it would be God's Spirit. God's Spirit who calls them to the work, moves them to obedience, gives them the wisdom and the skill they needed to do the work, and protected and helped them in their work. And beloved, that is always the way that God works with His people, isn't it? God works through His people, and He uses His people and their efforts to build His kingdom. Nothing depends upon us. God does it. It's the work of Christ's Spirit. Christ's Spirit in us, Christ's Spirit through us, done in such a way that the building of God's house today is all the work of Christ Jesus and His Spirit. Christ says, doesn't He? We read in Matthew 16, I will build my church. And how beautifully the Apostle Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 2, the end of that chapter. We read in verse 19 to the end, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God. Now these words, through the Spirit. Zerubbabel laid the cornerstone of the temple. The foundation was built, and now in the Old Testament, they had to build that temple. Transferring that to the New Testament, Christ Jesus is the cornerstone. The teaching of the apostles is the foundation. And now that temple is being built up. Built up not only of the Jews, but he is writing now to Gentiles. He says, from all these tribes and nations and languages of people, I'm building my church. How? Through the Spirit. That's the power of God. God accomplishes his purpose. As it was the Holy Spirit that breathed life into the creation that God gave. As the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and life, giving us new life, new hearts, so it is the Holy Spirit dwelling in the church, enabling her, supplying her, so that she can be a light in the world. God performs his work by his word and by his Spirit. What does this mean for us? I don't know where I got this, but I want to take this quote. We are the strongest when we're on our knees, dependent upon God's grace and Spirit, begging God for his Spirit in our hearts. Is that you? Is that me? We are the strongest when we're on our knees, dependent upon God's grace and Spirit, begging for the work and the power of the Spirit in our hearts. How is that? Oh, it's by faith, humble faith, a humble dependence upon God. Who am I, said David, that this should be of me? Who are you and who are I? Of ourselves, sinners, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, but empowered and enabled by the poured out Spirit of Christ Jesus. This vision, beloved, was needed by Zerubbabel. It was needed by God's people there in the Old Testament. Why? Well, because we read in verse 7, notice, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt be made a plain. Do you see that? A great mountain is standing before Zerubbabel in his task. That mountain is going to be made a plain. What does that mean? That's a figurative way of talking about the obstacles that stood before Zerubbabel and God's people and the tasks that were given to them. When they were in Babylon, they had great expectations when finally they are allowed to go back to Jerusalem. And they come back to Jerusalem, and of course you know from your Bible stories that it was all in ruins. Here those eager folks come back, very poor. They set out to build. They lay down the foundation. And right away they start getting opposition from the peoples around them, especially the Samaritans. And there's no further work. What is that mountain that was standing between Zerubbabel and the task that he had to do that's going to be made into a plain? Well, isn't that the devil himself, really? Don't we read in the New Testament that that is the real opposition that we face? Ephesians chapter 6, we read, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Oh, the devil. The devil standing there trying to heed the work. That devil using at that time the Samaritans. The Samaritans who wrote to the king of Persia and told them about those Jews that were such miserable troublemakers and rebels. The work stopped. Yes, they lived in a hostile world. And then added on top of that, the devil also works with a sinful nature inside God's people there, so that God's people weren't so eager to build God's house. It's a hard, daunting task. There's so much opposition. And besides, we want to build our own houses to live in. Boy, Zerubbabel, you have a hard time leading God's people in that kind of circumstances to do the task. And the promise is that that mountain, that obstacle that the devil has there, is going to be taken away through the power of the Holy Spirit. Why do you and I need these pep talks? I call them pep talks. Quite often we have mission presentations. And we're told over and again why we have to do missions. And you say, why do we need all these pep talks? Why don't we just do the work? It's because we too often are standing with our hands dragging. Build the church of Jesus Christ, the devil is opposed to such a task. He doesn't want the church of Christ Jesus to prosper. As he went after Christ Jesus, the man-child, now he goes after the woman in the wilderness. Oh, he seeks to destroy the church. There is the opposition of the world around us, either with their persecution or their ridicule. You still believe those things yet? Or the world comes and says, let's help you build. Use some of our gimmicks. Try to entertain the crowds, and maybe then they'll come back in the evenings again. Oh, the devil uses the world around us to prevent church building. And how the devil works with that old sinful nature within you and me. Who am I? In this world of apostasy, in this world, especially here in the United States, of materialism, who needs God? They don't even want to hear about God. Who am I? We become discouraged. Why should we try to have another Bible study out there in the community? We tried it once and it really didn't go real well. Should we try again? Why should I try to witness that neighbor again? I talked to him before. Why should I let my light shine at work and my other neighbor is going to whisper about me, what kind of a freak he is, a God person? We become gloomy. I can't do it. The work's too hard. The opposition's too great. And the church stands with hands hanging down. And the work does not go completed. And the Lord is coming to you and me. He's coming to his church today. And he's saying, not by might. Not all the resources that you have out there. Not by your own determination and your persistence. That's not how it's going to do. Oh, beloved, it's by my Spirit. It's by my Spirit. God's house will be built. There's no question about it. Because God knows his people from eternity and he's given them to Jesus Christ and they will all be saved. They will be gathered in. Let us, they're empowered by the Holy Spirit, be that light in the world. Be active in our own testimony from our lips as we talk to our children, as we talk to our neighbor, as we talk to our fellow employee. Let us be excited about the preaching of the gospel that we say, yes, I want my neighbor not only to hear about Christ, I want him to hear Christ himself in the preaching. God's house will be built. And God does that work, and he blesses that work in the way of our obedience, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. What is the application this evening? If the building of God's house is by his Spirit, then you and I need to take the word of the Spirit. That's the building blocks. We need to take the word of the Spirit. Not using gimmicks as a church. Not trying to answer the arguments. All those people that don't believe in evolution, they're going to try to come with their arguments. The way to go about it is not by trying to argue back about a greater cause or something else. The church is to build, not by trying to package the message so that the people want to come back a second time and say, that was interesting, that was nice, that felt made me feel good. The building of the church has to be taking the word of God and preaching it. And preaching that word of God so that God's people have that word in their hearts, and then they go out into their homes and into their communities and their workplaces and they speak that word. Isn't that what happened in the early church? The apostles didn't spread all over. The apostles were there in Jerusalem, and the people there that heard the word of God, they went forth and they evangelized. That is, they brought the gospel. They brought the preaching that they heard and was in their heart, and they spoke of it to others. And if it's by the Spirit, then we should be aware of the Spirit's leading in our individual lives. Are you praying as a church, where can we have another Bible study? Are you asking the Holy Spirit to give you opportunities when you go to the workplace or when you sit on that plane ride or whatever neighbor or other person around you? Are you asking the Lord to give, open up these opportunities and then grasping it, seizing that opportunity? It is, yes it is, the work of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit only who can open hearts and open eyes and ears for others to understand spiritual things. But may we, by God's grace, be those instruments that God uses, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to bring that message of Christ, as an Andrew did to Peter, or as Philip did to Nathaniel. The Holy Spirit will equip you with the words to speak. Isn't that one of the obstacles for us quite often in our lives? What do I say? How can I approach that neighbor? Jesus told his disciples, do not be afraid of what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will give you those words, and we need to go forth with that same thought, that same knowledge. It's not I'm not going to rely on myself, but the Holy Spirit that opens up an opportunity now will take those truths in our hearts, and he'll put the words in your mouth. Be a light in this world. We are called, like Zerubbabel was with God's people, to build the temple. We are called to build the church of Christ Jesus. It's Christ who's building. May he be pleased to bless and use us. Amen. Father, we thank thee for the comfort and the encouragement that we have this evening. We want the Church of Jesus Christ to prosper. We want God's people to be gathered from the nations and from our own community. And we thank thee then that thou art pleased to bless us in the way of our obedience, that thou wilt empower us by the Holy Spirit, so that our lives may testify, be a light in the midst of our community, and that our mouths will speak of what the Lord has done for us. Hear us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.